Good morning. Today's scripture is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verses 16 through 21. This is what the Lord says: He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the desert and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. The word of the Lord.
Thank you. You may be seated. Would you pray with me now? Holy and gracious Lord, we come before you. We've heard your word, your living word read. And now we ask, Lord, that you would open the eyes and ears of our hearts, that we may receive the message that you've put on my heart to share. And may it not come back empty to you. For it's in Christ's precious name that we pray. Amen. Well, good morning. Merry Christmas. We're still in Christmas season, 12 days of Christmas. Hope you had a very, very blessed one. We did. We had a quiet day on Thursday, and then family came over on Friday afternoon, and we opened presents and just had a wonderful time, a different Christmas this year, some of you know, but a blessed one for sure. And now we're only 3 or 4 days away from a brand new year. And you know, over the several past days in particular, I've been reflecting on my past 2 or 3 weeks. I've been in and out, as I'm sure you have, of a number of different malls, stores like Walmart, Target, Kmart. And one thing has impressed me, not in a positive way this year, is how much less of Christ I've experienced and how much more I've experienced of what's good for us, what we should be experiencing based on what the world tells us to experience. And let me explain a little bit. A few days ago, I went out to a store, I won't say which one, and I wanted to get some cards for the immediate family. One, two, for example, my 3 granddaughters, my daughter-in-law, something that said their, what their identity was, and then a Merry Christmas on it. And as I looked on the card shelves, it was very, very hard to find anything that said Merry Christmas. All that was there, although they were very beautiful and sparkly, they would say things like Happy Holidays, Enjoy the season, season's greetings, nice messages inside, but Christ was taken out of the card. And that was a disappointment to me. The other thing that I noticed as I walked in and out of book sections, bookstores, is the self-help section has grown. And as a matter of fact, I talked to Pastor Brian about that a couple of days ago, that I saw that more and more there were books there that tell us how to plan our future, how to manage our finances, how to deal with relationships, and the list just goes on and goes on. And even the magazines, Fresh Start, Do This, Do That. And Pastor Brian, so insightful, said this. He said, you would think with several years ago, all these books coming out, that the section wouldn't have needed to grow 2 to 3 times, right? That those first books would have hit the mark. Well, how has that gone for you this last year, if you've looked at any of them? The other thing that I've been doing is thinking about the shoulda, coulda, wouldas of 2015. 14. And I have to confess, I should have backed away from the table a little bit more, but especially Friday afternoon. And if I keep doing that over these next days through the new year, I definitely will have one New Year's resolution. Can you guess what that is? Yeah, lose weight. The second one, close behind it for many people, is what? Can you guess what number two is? Finances. Get your finances in order. I mean, swiping the plastic, whether it's a debit card or a credit card. People go out, they want to be joyful. Let me get one more thing. And then the bills start coming in January, right? But I'd like to pause now and go a little deeper with you. Go a little deeper on a spiritual level with you. Maybe, just maybe, we might can identify ourselves with those Israelites that Lynn Ullman just read to us about. They were in Babylonian exile. It had to be a tough time for them. And I don't know if they were thinking about a new year, what was to come. Were they looking back a little bit at what God had done for their ancestors when he brought them out of Egypt, when he told Moses he was going to do a new thing through him, and Moses led the people out? Or were they saying to themselves sullenly, God couldn't do that again. He couldn't do a new thing again, when all of a sudden, here comes Isaiah, the prophet, on the scene. And what does Isaiah say? Don't look back. But God is going to do a new thing. God's going to make a way in your desert, in your wilderness. God's even going to provide water refreshment for you along the way. Streams and rivers even. And my friends here this morning, I would offer to you and believe that these scriptures speak to us today, just as loudly as they spoke through Isaiah those thousands of years ago. And with that said, what I would like to do is use the acrostic START, S-T-A-R-T, and give you some tips that may help you open yourself, open your life to receive something new from our Lord God into this new year of 2015. Because you see, he wants to do something new. The first thing that we need to do is surrender to him. And with that said, you may remember, if you were here last weekend, that Pastor Brian shared with all of us, and I've been reflecting on this, that to have true peace in our spirit with God, we need to surrender to him to simplify our lives. And he went on to say that that may mean putting something aside that we've been doing, adding something else to draw ourselves closer to the Lord so that we can hear in our hearts what he has planned for us, what new thing he wants to do in us and through us. What are we willing to do? What are we willing to give up? What are we willing to add to so that we're in that perfect position to receive from him? I love the way Romans 13:12 says it. Hear the word of the Lord. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on what? The armor of light. You see, our Lord God, Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit, his light shines and makes a way for us on the path that he has set forth for us, if we would only surrender to him. And as we surrender, we need to trust that God's will never lead you where grace cannot keep you. God God's path will never lead you where grace, His grace, cannot keep you. There was a movie that came out 2006 or so entitled Faith Like Potatoes. It's based on a wonderful, incredible, true life story of Angus Buchan. He leaves his home and travels to South Africa with his family to start a better life. But the problem is he's doing it on his own terms. For you see, he doesn't have Jesus Christ as his Savior in his heart. And he becomes faced with mounting challenges, hardships, personal turmoil. And because he doesn't have Christ, he quickly takes a downward spiral. And he is consumed, my friends, with anger, fear, and destruction. As a matter of fact, he destroys some of his relationships. He destroys any financial opportunities he may have had, and he almost destroys his marriage. At that point, he had no trust in God and God's path for his life to do something new. By the time I was in my late 40s, my career was at a point that I would say I was pretty comfortable. I would go on to say I was compliant and maybe even a little bit complacent. And it was about that time that God started speaking to me in my spirit. And I don't have the time to share all the ways that He did. But He said to me in my spirit, Faye, I want to do a new thing in and through you. I want you to be a pastor. It's going to take some work, but I want you to be a pastor. I'm leading you. Will you surrender to me? And I'm not happy to stand here and say that it took 3 years of running from him before I finally surrendered and trusted teeny little bit, like a mustard seed faith, that he would lead me and that his grace would keep me. And it was God's grace that held me and led me through those 9 years. I can tell you right here, there were nights, the middle of the night, that I'd be at a keyboard trying to type a paper, whether it was in college or seminary, I'd fall asleep on the keyboard, but somehow, through the power of the Holy Spirit, I would get it done and get a pass on that paper. Now, not all of us are called to leave our job and certainly not to go into ministry. But there is a truth here, and that truth is we are all called. You are all called into something new at different seasons of your life. And I want you to hear that from me. God has a purpose. He wants you to surrender to it. He wants you to know that His will for you will never lead you where His grace can't keep you. Don't resist the call upon your life. Certainly don't wait 3 years like I did. You know, the scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians that Paul had some issues too. 2 Corinthians 12, 8 and 9. Paul tells us that he had a thorn in his flesh. Now, we don't know what that thorn is. Some commentators think it was some disease, some ailment that he wanted God to rid him of. Could it have been that God wanted to do a new thing, one of those new journeys God was leading him to, and he was saying 3 times, God, take this from me. But then in verse 9, God says this, My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. Power is made perfect in weakness. And oh, how I found that to be true lately more than ever. His power is made perfect in my weakness, has been, is continuing to be, will continue to be. The third thing is acknowledge the steps along the way. Acknowledge the steps along the way. As you surrender to God, as you trust that His will lead you where His grace will keep you, then acknowledge the steps along the way. God told the Israelites He would make a way for them in the desert. He would even give them streams and rivers in the desert and in the wasteland. And He will do that in your spiritual deserts and wastelands as well. See, your Christian journey is a process. It's a process that means you start with a few steps, maybe even baby steps if you're a baby Christian, and then you pick up on those steps along the way. I look at our Christian journey like an athlete as well. Some of you may remember a few years ago, Pastor Brian was not a runner at all. And he decided for his own health, he would begin to run. But what he started doing was he would walk about a fourth of a mile, and then he'd run about a fourth of a mile. And then over time, he would increase the run, decrease the walk, until he could run those marathons that he runs now that we're so proud of him for doing. The same is true in our spiritual walk as well. I don't care if you call them New Year's goals or New Year's resolutions. It doesn't matter. But there's something that God is calling you to do new in 2015. Maybe it's to read the Bible through in a year. Maybe, just maybe, He wants you to slow down and sit with Him a little bit more. Pray a little bit more. Listen to Him a little bit more for the new thing or things that He wants to do in and through you. And as you do that, you'll find that you have to give up something. Maybe it's a little bit of TV time. Maybe it's a little bit of extracurricular time. Maybe it means you've got to get up a little bit earlier or go to bed a little bit later, depending on what your body clock is like. But you've got to make space inside your soul for Him, so that He can speak to you, lead you into the new things that He wants for your life. And as you do this, then you'll find along the way, He will help you to refocus your life to begin to get where you want to go on the path that He's setting forth for you, for those new things He's calling you to. It's kind of like getting directions to someone's house. Last week, I think it was Tuesday, it was a rainy day and a foggy day. But I wanted to go see one of our shut-ins. And I ran a map quest. I knew I had GPS on the Jeep. But I wasn't satisfied because the directions were a little bit like this. You've gotten some like that. And so I called up. And I talked to the shut-in's wife, and I said, can you give me a few landmarks? And so she did. And this particular path took me over the dam, and on the other side of the dam, I had to take Highway 6 up a little ways. And you know where the fork is if you live around here. The fork of the road, I think it's a sit-go, and you've got to bear left, you know, if you're headed that direction. And, oh, I got a peace in my heart. My GPS has got it right this time. Sometimes she doesn't. She has led me down some dirt roads, or I haven't paid attention to her and gone down a wrong road. But this time it was all good, and I got there. Praise God. Then there was this gray house, and I needed to take a left. And I think that gray house might have had a Carolina flag in front. No, I think it had a Clemson flag. No. I think it might have had a Kentucky flag. Well, it had a flag. And I took a left there. Our spiritual life is the same. We have landmarks along the way that give us assurance and reassurance that we're on that path that God has set forth for us to do, that new thing that he wants us to do. For example, when I was a young mama, Angie and Tyler were just little tykes. We were at Rehoboth, my home church, and here came a little blip in the bulletin. We need volunteers and helpers in children's ministry. Well, yeah, I was a young mama, but I'd never worked with children's ministry before, but I felt that nudge. And so I listened to the Lord. I volunteered, worked in children's ministry, and oh, the landmark that God gave me. What joy and passion in my heart for several years to work with those precious little ones. I knew that I was exactly where I needed to be for that season in my life. Fast forward to seminary, not that long ago. It was required that I take one CPE unit, that's chaplaincy training, at Baptist Hospital for 6 months. And I have to share with you that for a lot of pastors in training, that's not a real good experience. And a lot of pastors are glad when they've got that piece behind them, because you see some tough things there. But God gave me my biggest landmark in my training there. Because you see, I realized what a joy he put in my heart for pastoral care. And I sensed him saying to me over and over again, "Now, Faye, when you go into the church, you need to make sure that pastoral care is going to be a very key focus of what you do." And so, here I stand, 9 years in the journey to become an ordained pastor, 3 years in Anderson with three little churches. Now I'm sixth year here at Mount Horeb as what? Your pastor of congregational care, congregational ministries. And I want to pause right now and say, I hope you can see the smile on my face, because I know that this is exactly where God wants me to be now. And in the last few months, I have been the recipient of such beautiful love and care from all of you at a very difficult season in mine and my family's life. This is a loving congregation, and I can't thank you enough for that. So as you surrender and as you trust in God, that his path will never lead you where his grace can't keep you, and you acknowledge those steps along the way, and you refocus your life to begin to get where you want to go based on his new thing that he's doing for you, with those landmarks, those assurances along the way, then go and tell others about your journey. I've shared some of my spiritual journey with you here this morning, and it's a continual journey. I pray that God will allow me, as long as he sees fit, to continue to share my life and my journey with others. And I would share with you that the best sermon anybody could hear is your story, your testimony. And it's an ongoing one. In the movie Faith Like Potatoes, Angus Buchan soon surrenders. He accepts Jesus Christ as his Savior. And the first thing that he does is he goes to his pastor. And he says, "Pastor, I've accepted Jesus Christ in my heart, and I wanted you to know that." And pastor looks at him and says, "I've got a challenge for you, Angus. I want you to leave this place today, and I want you to find your first three friends, and I want you to tell each one of them that you've asked Jesus to come in your heart." And then the pastor walked to his bookshelf, and he pulled off a real little Bible He had it in his hand, and he said, "Angus, somebody gave me this little Bible years and years ago, and I give it to you now. You will like it. You will like it." Angus goes on and lives a Christian journey where he tells others about Jesus Christ. He encourages them to pray. He prays for miracles, many miracles in his journey. He prays for God to lead him to do the things that God would have him do. He continued to share his faith. What has God done for you, done through you in your life? Have you been sharing it? Will you continue to share it? Maybe you're like Angus was at the beginning of the movie. I feel like I have to say this right now. There could be somebody in this room, I don't know, only you know that, that you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart. And if you haven't, don't wait another minute. It's a free gift. He went to a cross. He died on a cross for your sin. Death couldn't hold him. He sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and he wants to give you the Holy Spirit and a foretaste of a resurrection that you and I will experience one day in heaven, an everlasting life. Don't wait. Maybe you're sitting there saying, "You know, 2014 wasn't so hot, but I need to draw closer to my Lord. I'm feeling him nudge me. I need to get out of my comfort zone and do that new thing that he's been putting on my heart. I need to spend more time with him in prayer and in Bible study. Maybe I need to volunteer." And by the way, I think Pastor Brian needs some people in the parking lot, and Janice needs children's helpers. There are things to be done that God can call you to for this new season in your life. Maybe, maybe, just maybe, he is calling you right now to something new. Won't you say yes? Won't you pray with me now for him to touch you and lead you in that new thing that he wants to do? Let's pray. Gracious God, we come before you now. I lift up all those gathered here right now. If there's anyone in this congregation that has never accepted you as their Savior, oh Lord, nudge them. May they do it now. If there's anyone that needs to recommit to you, that needs a deeper transformation, draw closer to you, nudge them. Nudge them on, Lord, and may they be receptive to it. As we embark upon 2015, may we go and tell others our story. Tell it from east, from west, and even on the mountains, that you, Jesus Christ, are our Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.